Amen. Thanks, Brother David. Take your Bibles, Ephesians chapter number 5 this morning. Ephesians and chapter number 5 becoming a familiar portion of Scripture that we have been launching from in this series, Too Committed, Experiencing and Enjoying Marriage God's Way. And last week we had a combined adult Bible fellowship, so we did not meet. 2 weeks ago, we continued in this series with the fifth lesson about overcoming our fears and studying Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 33. So we'll take a little bit of time this morning and review, since that was 2 weeks ago, and then we will finish those thoughts this morning and ask God to use them in our lives and in our relationships. And again, let me just express appreciation for you being here and being in attendance today. As you're turning to Ephesians chapter 5 also, and your bulletin is a lesson handout or a companion handout, I want to encourage you to use that. It'll have the blanks in there from 2 weeks ago and have some cross-reference verses and so forth that will help us in the time that we have allotted to cover this lesson, to be able to follow along and to do so. And what I like about it is then to maybe jot notes about whatever the Lord speaks to you about and take it home with you and kind of review it and so forth. So hopefully that will be a help and a blessing to you throughout this week. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 33, as we have kind of launched from this text into this series, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." That's a short verse. Let's read it together, all right? Ready? Begin. "Nevertheless, let every one of you in so particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." And this is God's plan for marriage. This is God's design. And this is really kind of what we've patterned after, in the sense of, okay, two committed, two people committed to marriage God's way. And if we'll do that, then we'll experience and enjoy it according to the way that God intended. And we have looked at several aspects of this by way of introduction. What does it mean to love and to reverence? And how can we understand God's way? And then we talked about how to communicate and how to navigate around the roadblocks that will present themselves when you're striving to love and reverence God's way. And then right before we jump in to the practical application lessons, which I'm dying to get to and can't wait till next Sunday, we took one more journey by way of introduction on this thought of overcoming our fears. What about the wife who feels like, I don't know that I'll ever be loved the way that I want to be loved? Or the husband who's doubting, you know, the reverencing that he would like to have, or maybe one day did have. And why do those fears exist? And how do we overcome them and have the love and reverence in our relationships that we should? And we've taken some time to really make sure we have a foundation by which to build on in this series. And that's what we started 2 weeks ago. So let's review very quickly. We began 2 weeks ago with this thought, overcoming our fears, and just looking at what fears there are and why they are there. First of all, 2 weeks ago, we looked at reasons why wives feel unloved and fear that they may always feel this way. And we looked at because he just won't talk. Some wives feel like my husband will not communicate. He won't talk with me. I want to communicate. I want to be open. I want to connect. I want to have that level of connection, but he's not there. Or maybe because he doesn't even know how to love me. I don't know that he even knows how to express the love to me that I desire for him to express. And some wives might feel these things. Or because he is only aware of his own needs. He knows what he needs. He knows what he wants. He knows all of that, but he doesn't know me. And sometimes a wife might feel like he doesn't even notice that I don't feel loved. And so there are some fears there on behalf of some wives regarding love, okay? Then we studied, and this is all review, then we studied reasons why husbands do not feel reverenced and maybe fear they never will. We talked about because the wife may be being critical. And we spent some time here 2 weeks ago, and the ladies were so gracious to allow a time of teaching where a good-willed and good-hearted wife who senses something in the relationship that needs to be improved or discussed or talked about or fixed will bring it up. But if she's not careful, she will do it in a critical way. And it's justified because she loves her husband. She's doing it for the betterment and the improvement of the relationship. But because it's done in a critical way, if you're not careful, it can sound more like mothering than being his wife. And we really spent some time here. And if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, I encourage you to go to Gabriel.com, click on the His Design logo. Brother Carlos Flores helps us with this, and you can listen to the lesson. And I encourage you that, because we're not going to have time to cover both of them. But we spent some time here when we last looked at this lesson and really looked at that approach is not going to work. It may have all the best of intentions, but it's not going to produce the results that you want. And so some husbands fear that. And then because she doesn't or won't respect me until she fixes me, some husbands feel that maybe that's the hurdle or the fear in the relationship. She'll reverence me once I am who she, you know, created me to be. And some husbands may feel that way. So then we went to, okay, how do we overcome these fears? How do we fix these things? How do we make them right? And we started with the husbands, as we often do in our class. And we looked last or 2 weeks ago at the remedies for love. How can we as husbands show our love to our wives the way that we should, the way that God encourages us to? And we studied that we need to remember that love is her God-given need. And we talked about the fact that it's not like she's just, you know, selfish, self-centered, and coming up with these things that she wants to have, and then we're stuck having to fulfill these things. No. This is who God made her. God made her love. God made her to need love. God made her to love. And we need to recognize this is her God-given need. And when we stood in marriage altar and we said, I do, we were saying, I want to fulfill meeting that need to the best of my ability. We gave that commitment and that vow. And we want to remember that as husbands. We also talked about last week that we need to be the kind of husbands that are honorable and taking the hit. I think this is where we left off last week. And some of that maybe doesn't make a lot of sense if you weren't here. And again, I want to encourage you to listen to the lesson. But we were not promoting, you know, physical abuse among husband and wives or anything like that. Being honorable and taking the hit had to do with this idea. When you and your spouse are having a conversation, and you as the husband feel like my wife is being critical, and maybe she says something I don't like, maybe she says in a way I don't like, maybe she, you know, uses a tone I don't like, or whatever the case may be. We encouraged the husbands 2 weeks ago to be honorable and take the hit. In other words, when you begin to hear from your wife criticism, which, by the way, ladies, 2 weeks ago we defined as contempt, that when a man hears his wife being critical of him, it comes across as utter disgust for who he is. Your heart may say I love, but your mouth is saying I hate. And that's how he's interpreting it. But we challenged the husbands 2 weeks ago, when you hear that, be honorable and take the hit. In other words, recognize, hey, while I'm hearing her being critical, her speaking down at me, or whatever the case may be, what she is saying in code is, I need your love. I need to know we're okay. And we encourage the husbands to be honorable, and if you could envision the wife with these fiery, venomous darts, that every now and then she can pull out, and with great accuracy she can get you. We encourage the husbands, hey, be honorable, and when that kind of stuff is happening, take the hit. Go in to the fiery darts and go to her and say, honey, I don't know what's wrong, I don't know what I did, but let's make this thing right. Be honorable and take the hit. Don't be silent, don't take off, don't get upset, don't get angry, don't get into a heated argument. Go in to the darts, go into the criticism, and however you want to make the analogy, go to it and be honorable and take the hit and make sure that things are right. And this is what we were challenged last week as husbands. We left off with this idea of the two questions we must ask in this moment to ourselves. Is my wife coming across to me disrespectfully because she's feeling unloved? Did I do something? And then what I'm about to say or do next, will it come across as loving or unloving? And we learned as husbands 2 weeks ago, if what I'm about to do is going to come across as unloving, I better not do it. Because then I am not in the spirit, I am not helping, and I'm going to make this thing work. So how can we continue to provide these remedies for love? Men, let me give you these, and then ladies, I'm going to teach you most of today. Letter C, never give up. Never give up. And husbands, and I'm not talking about, boy, marriage is just so bad, and I hope you can make it, and here's, you know, some water this week, and man, just let me get you in the corner and give you a towel and some water and some nutrition, and hopefully you can make it another week. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, fellas, there is a segment of husbands who have just kind of come to the conclusion of, hey, there's just some things I'm not going to understand. There's some things I'm not going to agree with. There's some things we're not going to do that way. And they've just settled. they just kind of come to grips with it's not great, but it's not all that bad either, and it's fine. And they've settled. And I want to encourage us in this class not to settle. Strive to have great marriages. And all of us can improve in the area of marriage. And I think all of us as husbands know all of us can improve in the area of marriage because all of us can improve as husbands. It can begin with us and we can get better and we can do our part. So husbands, never give up. And when there's a discussion and when there's something going on and you feel like it's leading into an argument or your wife is getting critical or something is happening that is challenging you, be careful not to give up. Remember, when you give your wife silence, it comes across to her as you don't care. So don't give up. Continue to invest in your relationship. Continue to grow in your relationship. And when you feel like, yeah, but Brother Rule, I'm just being bombarded with the verbal death blows, don't give up. There's something going on. That's the woman that you stood at a marriage altar with and said, I do. That's the love of your life. That's your life's partner and life's mate. And there may be a season of something going on, but find out what it is. Don't give up. And make it right. And I'm telling you, if you'll go through something like that, resisting, putting it under the rug and saying, hey, forget about it, let's just move on. If you'll work through it and grow through it and learn through it, it'll strengthen your relationship in an amazing way. So, fellas, don't give up. Stay after that thing. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:16, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth the shame. And your wife may be conducting herself time to time in a way that you do not feel is respectful towards you or is reverencing towards you. Well, you have a decision to make. Are you going to cover that up and show her love? Or are you going to get even, so to speak, and say, well, then I'm not going to be loving. And we want to be the kind of husbands that are being obedient to the Lord and are doing what it is that we can. And really, guys, it comes down to a decision between I can't or I won't. Sometimes we'll come to a place where we just won't do what's right because we think it's going to take too much effort, because we think she doesn't deserve it, because we can't believe what she did to us, or whatever. And we need to be challenged and encouraged. Don't give up. Don't say, I won't. Just with God's help, do the right thing and show that love and work through those things, and it will be an immense help to you. Remember these things, and I put them in your notes. Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If you fail to show love, get back up. Rebound. Try again. The Bible says, for a just man falls seven times, it riseth up again. Hey, we're not going to get it perfect. We're not going to bat 1,000. There's going to be times in my relationship with my wife where she needs love and I didn't give it. Where she is communicating she needs love in a way that I'm not hearing she needs love. I'm hearing that she doesn't approve of maybe who I am or how I handled something. And my flesh is going to want to respond with spite and malice and anger and all of that stuff. And I'm going to have a decision to make. And I'm not always going to make the right decision. But I need to stay on track. And I need to stay committed. And I need to stay engaged. And I need to stay growing. And I need to stay after this thing of showing her love and convincing her of that. So never give up. And then lastly, fellas, how can we remedy this fear of love in our wives' hearts? Is seek to improve. When a conflict arises, and I know we don't have conflicts in the relationships in this room, but when a discussion arises or, you know, a conversation or something, fellas, stop and ask your wife at some point in time during that, honey, what you just did or what you just said felt or sounded disrespectful. Did I just do something that seemed to you as unloving? Because what I'm getting from you right now, I don't like. And by the way, if we would learn to have more open communication in our marriages and mature Christians fix big problems when they're small, immature Christians make huge problems out of little things. And we do very well in marriage when we can sense something's not right, and it's small, but it's not right. And we don't just wait for it to become World War III and then we have to deal with it because nobody can breathe, you know. But we get to the point where we sense something's not right and we say, let's deal with this now. And what is it that's not right? Because I'm sensing from you some stuff that you're not normally that way. So did I do something? And we need to seek to improve and to communicate in that way. So remedies for love. And men, we want to work on these things. We talked about them 2 weeks ago and then again today. Let's shift gears, ladies, and talk about remedies for reverence. How can you help your husband prevent fear or overcome fear of not receiving your reverence in his life? Now, some ladies, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, might feel like, well, if I do that, I'm just going to be a doormat. Some ladies feel like, well, I don't really feel respect for him. So, and God tells me to reverence him. So if I reverence him and respect him, am not I just being a hypocrite? Some ladies feel that way. Some ladies think, Brother Rule, I could just never forgive him. I know what he's done to me. I know what he's put me through. And I don't know that I could ever just let that go. And sometimes these are feelings deep inside wives today. So what are the biblical solutions to this? How, if God commands husbands to love, and he does 4 times in Ephesians 5, if God commands wives to reverence, and he does, as we read this morning in verse 33, then how is it done? And men, we were challenged, and ladies, let's look at a couple things this morning as well. Letter A, recognize that reverence is his God-given need. Now, just as love is the God-given need that God has given to our wives, so reverence is the God-given need that God has given to the husbands. And he needs reverence. And sometimes this is so misinterpreted with his arrogance. Well, I'm just feeding his ego. I'm just, you know, adding to this problem of arrogance that he may have. And it's not arrogance. It's not even egotistical. It's the way God made him. And again, we spent some time 2 weeks ago talking about, as God teaches us to communicate with him, he says, you know, I want you to start, I want you to hallow my name. I want you to praise me. God said, I want you to remind me how good I am. And God is good. God's amazing. And we could never tell God enough of how amazing he is. And then God made man in his own image. And men like to hear how good they are. They just do. Like it, don't like it, understand it, don't understand it. It is what it is. I gave you the analogy a couple weeks ago of when a man does something, he wants to show somebody. Man, did you see this? Did you see what I got done? See how clean that is? Honey, I just washed the car. Come out and look at it. No. You got to come out and see it. It looks awesome, you know. Why? Because in 5 minutes, the sand's going to blow and nobody's going to know how good it was. I want you to see it right now. Why? Because guys want to know they're amazing. I mean, it's they got it done. They want somebody to see it, you know. I mean, you know, your wife doesn't finish maybe clean up after a meal or something and say, honey, now come to this kitchen and look at how amazing it is, you know. And look at those dishes. I mean, they're really clean. It's just not the same need that is reciprocated between him and her. But he has that, and it's something that God has given him. And wives here are committed to reverence. And the reason, ladies, that wives are commanded reverence is because they do not reverence naturally. Okay? So God is commanding you to learn a new language. You love naturally. You will take us to the woodshed every time when it comes to love. And we're learning. And we're trying to get better. But you do not love, or excuse me, you do not reverence naturally. You don't. It's not you. It's not a criticism. That's just, I'm just speaking truth and love to you. So God's challenging you as wife to learn a language you do not know. Your husband knows it very well. By the way, when's the last time a wife in this room asked her husband, honey, God challenges me to reverence you. How could I reverence you better? Well, I'm not going to ask him that. My goodness, who knows what he'll say, you know. Who knows what I'll be opening up myself to or whatever the case may be. Now, but it's his God-given need. And ladies, you need to recognize that it's going to help you to be able to reverence as God would have you to reverence. When a husband receives unconditional reverence from his wife, those fond feelings of affection and love for her, they're so easy for him to give because he's being reverenced. Because a God-given need that God gave him is being met by the only person biblically that can meet it. Okay? So remember, it's God's given need. Letter B, recognize it's not hypocritical. It's obedient. Now, let me just spend some time here. And this may not apply to any lady in this room, and that's okay, because it may be preventative medicine. But it may apply. It may help you with someone else. But many wives find themselves in a difficult situation. They want to be reverencing to their husbands. They want to do what's right, but they don't want to be hypocritical. They don't want to just go through the motions and not mean it. Now, let me stop and say something here. Ladies, the only thing you can do worse than not reverencing your husband is reverencing him falsely. Is reverencing him without any authenticity or genuineness at all. It's like a mockery. Now, if that's the way you feel, then you're right. You shouldn't do anything. You just need to get in a prayer closet and get right with God. You say, well, that's kind of harsh, Brother Rule. Well, God's commanding your husband to love you. And there's not one wife in this room that feels that her husband should wait to show any love whatsoever until he can love everything about her. I think every wife in this room is reasonable enough to admit that there may be one tiny, little, small, minute area in their life that their husband may slightly be aware of that is a little less than completely lovable. Most reasonable wives might kind of say, yes, that could be true on, you know, every leap year, whatever. And yet God says to him, love. And so I think she feels like, okay, he's supposed to love me. He kind of knows some unloving stuff about me, but he's still supposed to love me. So I'm wanting him to love me, but I'm also understanding that, okay, he's going to have to work with that a little bit. Well, conversely, God commands you to reverence him. Yeah, there's going to be some stuff you know about him that isn't reverenceable. And by the way, men, we should be challenged to live lives that are worthy of reverence. But there's a dichotomy, there's a trade-off, there's an understanding here of, hey, he's not going to be perfect, but I'm to reverence him anyway because God has commanded me to do this. And for some wives, there's just this internal struggle of how do I give him this reverence? How do I show him respect when I'm struggling to feel the respect in my life, in my soul, in my body? How do I give him what I don't feel like I really have? And if I did this, it would make me hypocritical. And I want to challenge you that it's not hypocritical, it's obedience. The Bible says in Ephesians, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God does not command our kids to obey us because we're perfect parents. If that was God's command, we're hurting. I mean, our kids are going to have all kinds of excuses not to do right. But God tells them you obey your parents because it's right. God says, children, the reason you obey and honor imperfect parents is because that's what you're supposed to do. That's God's expectation of you. And God's expectation of husbands is to love wives who sometimes can be unloving. And God's expectation of wives is to be reverencing towards husbands that sometimes maybe don't deserve that reverence. And it's not hypocritical, it's obedience. It's not hypocritical, it's surrender to God's plan, to God's will. You say, well, I just don't know if I can do that. Listen to me. Your alarm clock went off this morning, and you thought, I don't want to get up. I'm tired. I want to stay in bed. I mean, God knows I love him. You know? I mean, they're not going to miss just one person in class. Yeah, we will. We'll know you're not here. But anyway. but I want to get some extra rest. And then you got up anyway, and you got ready, and you came here. You hypocrite. You didn't feel like that, but you did it. Now, sometimes we just do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. It's like Pastor Ray talks about the caboose. The feelings will come later. Hey, the feelings are not the engine. The engine is the will. The engine is discipline. The engine is I'm going to do right because it's right. The feelings are the caboose. The feelings will come later. And I'm not saying, wise, I'm not saying paint a picture of artificial reverence and give that, because I'm telling you, it will disservice your relationship. If your husband feels like you're patronizing him, it will be, the whole time. Just trust me, okay? If that's what it is, then just wait till you can do something with authenticity. And by the way, learn to count your blessings. Learn to look for stuff. Honey, thanks for getting my door. Thanks for fixing that. Thanks for putting that plate away. Thanks for whatever. I mean, you start as small as you want to start, you know? But look for stuff and make sure it is authentic. But don't get hung up with this idea of, well, it's not exactly the way I feel. It's not hypocritical. It's obedient. It's what God's commanded of you, and it's what God wants you to do. And again, we do a lot of things because we're supposed to do the right thing. The Bible says in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And why is it? It really comes down to if you're going to be obedient to God's command. Because if you are, then you're going to be a reverencing wife. And you're always going to have an excuse not to be. And if you're honest, your husband's always going to have an excuse not to be a loving husband. So it's really irregardless to talk about who has the most excuses. We're all imperfect. If I got what I deserved, I'd spend an eternity in hell. But because of God's love, because of His grace, because of the gift of His Son, because of Christ's gift of His life on the cross, I get to go to heaven. I don't deserve that. And I don't deserve my wife's reverencing. But if she's going to be obedient to God, she's going to give it to me anyway. And my wife may not always deserve my loving, although she deserves it far more often than I don't deserve her reverencing. But if I'm going to be obedient, I'm going to give her love. And that's what God wants us to do. It's not hypocritical. It's obedient. Letter C. How can we remedy this reverential relationship? Settle discussions respectfully. Settle discussions respectfully. Wives, and we touched on this 2 weeks ago. You know when something's not right in your relationship, oftentimes sooner than the husband does. And it's not because we don't care, although sometimes you feel that way. But there's a lady and her ability to be tied into a relationship and to kind of sense where it's at, oftentimes she might feel like, hey, is everything okay? And by the way, when there's a question of, hey, is everything okay, sometimes it's not because something's wrong. Sometimes it's just because there's a need of affirmation that everything's okay. I just haven't heard I love you in a while, or I didn't know if you loved me, or, you know, I saw that, you know, this businessman had to resign because because he cheated on his wife, and I thought that might happen to us, and, you know, who knows? But something could be happening in this nature. And then it brings about this insecurity and this need of affirmation. And that's part of the marital relationship. And when that comes, wives, just recognize this needs to be done respectfully. If I come to him in a critical tone or in a critical nature or critical words, it's not going to accomplish what I want it to accomplish. Again, he can't hear your heart. He doesn't know the feelings of your heart. He just hears your words. And when they're critical words, they're coming across as contempt, that you have an utter disgust for who he is. And nobody wants to be in that type of situation or environment. So seek to settle discussions respectfully. Stop and ask yourself, what if my son grew up to marry somebody like me? How would I want his wife to handle things? Sometimes wives treat their sons entirely differently than they do their husbands. There's a measure of love and grace that's given to the children that's no longer extended to the spouse. And it's just a good thought to think, what if my son grew up and married someone like me? Is this the way that I would want his spouse to resolve things with him? And it's just something to help us assess, where am I at? Am I settling things respectfully? And by the way, husbands, we want to be an accessible person. We don't want to have our head in the sand and, man, our marriage is great, and if she thinks there's something wrong, then she's wrong. No, we want to be accessible. It's possible that something could be better. And we want to be the kind of husband that says, honey, anytime you're sensing something, let me know. I want to make sure we're doing great. I want to make sure we're topside. I want to make sure we're doing well. So let's have open communication, but let's just do it respectfully. We'll get more done. We'll enjoy it. Could you imagine, ladies, if your husband got to the point where he enjoyed when you came to him kind of sensing something could be better, you talked about it and the relationship got better and he actually enjoyed that process? Man, that would be like a wife's dream. I'm telling you right now, the ingredient, the secret is this. Don't be critical. Do it respectfully. Find a way to do it and still reverence. I'm telling you right now, it'll revolutionize the way those discussions happen. So settle discussions respectfully. Letter D, be willing to forgive. Be willing to forgive. And I may be talking to a small margin right now in this class or maybe helping you help others, but be willing to forgive. And again, wives, if there's this sense of you don't know what he's done to me, you don't know what he's done to our family, you don't know what he's done in his past, I don't know how I can let all that go and reverence him, build him up, be his greatest cheerleader. I don't know how that can happen. Well, let me give you a couple things. In Matthew, the Bible says that Peter said to him, Lord, how often shall thy brother sin against me? And I forgive until seven times. Jesus said then to him, I sin unto thee until seven times, but it's 70 times seven. Peter said, do I have to give him for the same thing seven times? And Jesus says, no, 490. Now, is he saying literally keep track till 490 and then 491 let him have it? No. He's saying, you know what? Just be forgiving. Continually. Indefinitely. Just have a forgiving spirit. And that's what God desires of you and I. Why? He says, be kind one to another in Ephesians. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. The reason we are to forgive one another is because God has forgiven us. And the bottom line, as you look at Colossians and you look at Matthew, is this. We can't hold something against someone when God has forgiven us for everything. And I encourage you to be willing to forgive. I'm not making light of it. There may be ladies in here with great hurt. There may be situations you're helping people with great hurt. I'm not making light of it. But I am saying you got to be willing to forgive. You got to be willing to come to the cross and say, Lord, you forgave me for far more than I've ever deserved and for far more than I'll ever have to forgive someone for. So help me to be forgiving. Help me to put it under the cross, as far as the east is from the west, buried in the depths of the sea, made white as snow by the blood of Christ, and remembering it no more, and moving on. Forgiveness is what God wants us to do. It's the opposite of judging one another. It's giving each other the grace and mercy that God gave us, and it's imperative in our marriage relationship. And then, ladies, as you look for remedies for everything, lastly, realize this is your best option. When a wife is reverencing her husband, she does not become a doormat. She is not a hypocrite. You know what happens? He starts rolling out the red carpet. He starts being more loving. He starts being the kind of husband you've dreamed of. And when a wife in her heart is saying, I need your love, so love me and then I'll reverence you. And when the husband is saying, well, if you'll show me reverence, then maybe I'll show you love, then you have conflict and you have a nightmare. But when she's striving to reverence and when he's striving to love, you have the harmony God desired. You say, Brother Gable, who should start first? And I think the men should. The Bible said in Ephesians, for men to love their wives, then for wives to reverence their husbands. And I think men should lead. But you know what? Whoever discerns that there's a need in the relationship, start. If you sense there's something not right and you're the wife, reverence. If you sense there's something not right and you're the husband, love. Whoever senses it, boy, initiate the things that there should be there. What will this accomplish? It'll make bad marriages good. It'll make boring marriages exciting. And it will make good marriages great. When he loves, it motivates her to reverence. And when she's reverencing, it motivates him to love. You say, okay, Brother Gabe, we got it. We've hammered Ephesians 5:33 over and over. We know we're to love and reverence. All right, we want to do that. But how? How do I love her more than I love her now? How do I reverence him more than I reverence him now? What can I add to my repertoire that will help me more effectively do this? And that's where we're going to start next week. And I'm excited to kind of shift in this series to practical, applicable lessons of how to love and how to reverence. And next week, fellas, we're going to be challenged with how to love and being close to her and having the intimacy that she desires. And I'm trusting that God will use it. And I'm asking that God will help us today to look at these things and say, hey, we don't want to have fear in the hearts of our spouse, so how can we help them overcome them? Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for some time together today in your word. Bless every relationship in this room. I see some husbands and wives here today. Their spouses are not here, maybe serving in ministry or ill or whatever. Thank you for everyone being here. And God, I pray today that we would be here and say, God, I want to do my part. I want to improve in my area. I want to be a better Christian, a better husband, or a better wife. And Lord, may that desire carry us into pleasing thee and strengthen our relationships. And we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.